bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
Whenever I go to the store, I always notice there are so many different types of energy bars. My goodness, it could take me hours and hours to read every label. So I figure, why not make my own? So I am so thrilled to have Camilla V. Salisbury here. We're going to talk about her fantastic book, Power Hungry, the Ultimate Energy Bar Cookbook. We're also going to be talking about her latest book, which has to do with chickpea flour, which I am so excited. So we have got lots of great stuff, lots of great recipes, lots of fun. Hi, Camilla. So glad to have you.
It's great to be on the show.
Yeah, I had you on another show and we had so much fun and you stuck out in my mind because you have such great recipes. Just looking at the cover of your book, I want to eat every single bar. They're colorful. You see fruits, you see nuts, you see seeds, you see chocolate. I mean, what more could you want?
I know. And the best part is you know exactly what's in them once you open the pages of the book too. So
it's a great boon
for on-the-go eaters.
Oh, it is so true. So let's talk about your background. When did you first get interested in healthy living and cooking and recipe development? And then when did you say, wait a second, I got to start making some bars?
Oh, well, I'm one of those people who grew up in a really healthy-minded home. My mom was a co-op shopper, and that was our Saturday mornings every week, going vegetable shopping and co-op shopping. So whole grains and vegetables are comfort foods for me. But the power bars are a different story. When I was in graduate school, I cooked all the time, but I was spending so much time just walking around campus and getting from one place to another that I was just eating out of my backpack. So I resorted to power bars a lot of the time. And it just got to a point where I couldn't stand eating them any longer, and they all started to taste exactly the same. So I started making my own, and several years later, it started to come together more as an idea for a book. And as the number of energy bars on the market grew, so did my ideas for recipes, and eventually Power Hungry, the do-it-yourself energy bar book, was born.
Oh, it's so great. And what I love about the book is you've got supernatural knockoffs, activity bars, endurance bars, protein bars, raw and almost raw bars. So there's so many things to choose from. You also have the Power Hungry Pantry. What do we want to have in our pantry for making bars?
Well, what's really great about the bars is you don't have to have too much in your pantry. It's some really basic ingredients. Mm-hmm. You probably have most of them or a good number of them already. So dried fruits, and those are great for sweetening as well as for adding tons of flavor. Some really simple natural sugars such as honey and maple syrup for adding sweetening. And then also whole grains, so rolled oats, quinoa. I love amaranth and millet too. But then you also can add some really simple protein powders, and I only use all natural, naturally sweetened ones. And those are something you absolutely don't have to use, but are a great way to boost the protein in any or all of the bars just by adding a scoop or part of a scoop of one of those. And you can use plant-based ones or whey-based ones, whatever your preference is. Now, I always think it is absolutely essential to have some chocolate chips in the pantry just in case you want to add some. And I even use beans and some other legumes like lentils in some of my bars as well for natural protein and texture.
It's so funny that you mentioned that because that was the thing I was going to bring up next. Like, I thought that was really cool. Give us an example of one that you would use beans or lentils in.
What you can do is you can either buy them already cooked in the can, or you can cook them yourself. But for convenience sake, I usually buy the canned ones. And you can just blend those up. So I use a neutral bean often, for the lentils, have a fairly neutral flavor. You blend them until they're very smooth, and then you can mix them with other textures like oats or nuts or seeds. And you really don't taste the beans at all, but they add some creaminess to the bars, or they can add just sort of a neutral background base for which you can build on any number of bars by adding cocoa powder, by adding other fruits. It's really just a great backdrop ingredient for bar recipes.
Oh, it sure is.
You know, when you were nutrition too. Oh, sorry.
Oh, definitely. Oh, no. When we were talking about the chocolate chips, my problem is, honest to goodness, I just bought maybe a week ago a bag of, I forgot the brand, but it's like 70% dark chocolate. I have very little self-control when it comes to dark chocolate. So I told my husband, you know what? You're going to have to take this to work. Like, you know, I'll put some out in a plastic bag, some that I can have every day in little bags. And then you need to take the bag to work because I'm just completely out of control. But that's a whole nother show, how to control my dark chocolate cravings. One of the decadent things in your book, I have to say, is the bar coatings. How cool is this? Oh my gosh. You have a nut or seed butter coating, chocolate or white chocolate coating, and a Greek yogurt coating. Talk to us about these. My mouth is watering already.
Oh, good. Well, I often think so often with the bars, you know, having that little bit of coating that they have on the ready-to-go bars is really what pushes them over the top, gives them that extra appeal, and also gives you some eye candy as well, takes the brown bar into something really pretty. You can just spread on a very thin layer of, white chocolate base or dark chocolate base. You're really only getting a scant amount of chocolate, but it tastes like there's a lot more because when you add that thin coating along the length of the bar, with every bite, you're getting a little bit of chocolate or of that seed butter coating. And it just, you know, taste is the number one thing for any food, of course. And so this way you get the taste and the visual appeal. And I should add, too, like with chocolate chips, one of my little tricks for these bars as well as for other baked goods is I like to just sprinkle a few on top rather than mixing them in to a batter or into a bar.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because it's that visual appeal that we so often want, and also being able to get a little bit in every single bite, too. And you wind up using far fewer chocolate chips that way.
Oh, see, I need to do that because I use a lot of chocolate chips. For example, my daughter will ask me for cookie dough. And so what I'll do is I'll take the whole almonds. So it's not the super fine almond meal. That's fine too. But I'll take the one that actually has like the peel or whatever you would call it.
Oh, sure.
On the almond.
Yes.
Right. And so it's a little thicker. And then I'll mix in coconut oil, chocolate chips, and xylitol.
What
so there's no sugar. And oh my gosh, she eats it up like it's the best thing ever. And the other day my husband comes down and my daughter says, oh, can I have some cookie dough for breakfast? My husband's, because he knows I'm a health nut. He's like, what are you
right.
giving her? And I'm like, it's almonds. It's good. Trust me, this is better than, you know, a bowl of cereal
almonds,
or something.
Coconut
but what
oil,
I need
yes.
to do
oh, that's great.
Yeah, is make your bars. Now, on one of the pages, you have this lovely little plate. There's four dates. Now, dates are a great sweetener. What are ways to use them
True.
If you don't want to use honey or syrup? Is there a way to heat them or blend them? Or have I'm curious about that.
Oh, sure. Dates can always be used as a substitute, especially in no-bake bars, which in many of mine in the book are no-bake. But for other baking and cooking as well, so I always like to soak them if they're not the super soft dates. It only takes
sure.
about 15 minutes in warm water and then drain them. And then you can just puree those in your blender or your food processor and use that date paste in place of other sweeteners. And you can make it into more of a syrup by adding a little bit of liquid and then use that in place of honey or maple syrup in a recipe. So great way to add natural sugar, but then also you get the fiber from the dates as well.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I really, really like dates.
I
want to move on to
go ahead. I was just going to say they have such a great molasses, the brown sugar quality. So it's not a one-note sweetener.
Yes, and they really do have such a nice flavor. Let's talk about friend bars. Now, these are compared
sure.
to kind bars. So you've
yes.
got, I don't have my glasses on, let's see. Chopped, assorted raw or toasted nuts and or seeds. You have cashews, sunflower seeds, green pumpkin seeds, peanuts, pecans, crisp brown rice cereal, dried fruit, raisins, apricots, berries. Oh, I love dried apricots. And then you can use some a sweetener and then some sea salt. That and you tell us about that. It looks like you just have to stir it around, put it in a pan, bake it, and there you go.
It really is one of the greatest recipes because you can use up little bits and pieces that are in your pantry. So it's really just those five ingredients. So nuts or seeds, the crispy cereal, dried fruit, some sort of liquid syrup, and the salt. So you do just mix it up. You want the pieces to be fairly small, and you just mix it together, press it in the bottom of a lined pan. The lining, it makes it so much easier to pull things out, parchment or foil. And you just bake it for about 20 minutes. Let it cool, take it out. If you've seen the price of other such bars, they can run upwards of $2.50 a bar. This way, you can produce the bars for well under a dollar a piece. And again, use up those little bits and pieces of seeds and dried fruit that you've got in your pantry. You really can't go wrong as long as you keep the portions as listed in the recipe. You can mix and match to your heart's content.
Oh, that is so nice. Now, one of the things that is makes me crazy is I have a nut and seed sensitivity. So, I mean, I'll eat them anyway, but just a little bit. Well, not the seeds. Sunflower seeds, I immediately feel lousy. But I've been able to eat almonds. So tolerate. I know it's horrible. A little bit better. But for somebody who really is allergic to nuts or has nut sensitivity, there are a lot of other options in the book. Talk to us about these.
Yes, I have some coconut flour recipes, and lots of just really easily digestible grains, so if you can tolerate grains. So like green tea and ginger bars is one of mine you can do. Then also the bean bars you're talking about before, I have several that build on beans as the base, so a brownie black bean bar. And then also one of my favorites, it's actually one of my most popular recipes, I have it on my blog as well, is it uses all flax seed. Now, would that count as your seed intolerance?
No, I can do flax seed.
Okay.
Ooh, tell
flax
us about
seed.
That.
Yeah, as soon as I was saying, I was like, wait, flax seed. Oh, that's not good.
No.
But it's the flax
just
seed meal.
Just those damn so sunflowers.
Little... Yeah, okay. So it's just taking flax seed meal and nut butter and a little bit of sweetener, and that's it. And you mix that together and put it into muffin tin. Yes, and you can add dried fruit to it if you like. They are so good, and they're sort of crispy on the outside and chewy on the inside. So it's like a little cookie, but you know, so healthy, so easy, and you can add chocolate to it. So that's a great one. And can I add to one of my favorite new things for nut and seed intolerance? Is it's not in this book, but it's tiger nuts, which actually aren't a nut, but are tubers. Have you heard of those before? And you can buy them.
Yes, no,
you want to get them.
I've seen them in cookies, actually. Although the cookie blend,
it's
by Simple Mills. It's a combination of coconut, almond, and tiger nut. And I notice I can eat those without feeling
crummy.
Because I think there's, you know, it's like a nice mix.
Well, they're really great because they look like nuts. They're softer than nuts when they're peeled, but you can buy them sliced. And those work really well in recipes that call for chopped nuts. So I strongly encourage people to look into trying tiger nuts for adding that little bit of crunch to recipes where they would normally see nuts or seeds. So great option.
Oh, wonderful.
And there's
all
tiger
right,
nut flour as well. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yes,
well, we're going to switch gears. We're going to go from bars to your other book, my goodness, the Chickpea Flour Cookbook, Healthy, Gluten-Free, and Grain-Free Recipes to Power Every Meal of the Day. I love chickpeas. Talk to us about this book, why you wrote it, and share some of the recipes with us.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I am crazy about chickpeas as well. And chickpea flour, if you haven't used it before, it's just the dried chickpeas that are then ground into a flour. And you can do it yourself, even in a little coffee grinder. Just use dried chickpeas, grind it up. What I love about it is that it's one of the least expensive flours that you can buy. It's almost comparable to whole wheat flour in cost, but it is so incredibly versatile. You can use it in so many different kinds of baked good recipes, and it's very easy to use. You don't have to use any kind of gums or filler like xanthan gum or anything like that. It's great for people who have nut or seed allergies. It tastes great. It has a nutty flavor when you cook with it. And my goodness, the nutrition is just off the charts in terms of fiber and protein and vitamins and minerals. It's just a win, win, win.
That is awesome. Well, what are some of the things that we can make? If you could share like a breakfast, a lunch, a dinner recipe, that would be
awesome.
Sure.
Well, one of my favorite things to make is chickpea flour crepes. And all you don't have to use any eggs at all. It's just the chickpea flour, water, and oil, and maybe a little bit of salt. You can control the salt too. And you just blend that up in a blender until it has the consistency of crepes. Of course, the proportions are in the book. You can add a little bit of sweetener if you want to make them sweet crepes. But then you just make them like regular crepes, and they are incredible, and they work if you make them a little bit thicker, you pour a little more batter, and you can use them as tortillas in place of a tortilla recipe. You can make a stack of tortillas in about 10 minutes. You can have 20 tortillas ready to be, or wraps to be used throughout the week, but just great for breakfast time, filling them with whatever you like. So that's breakfast. Now for lunch, you can make a really simple soup just from chickpea flour. It's a Provençal-inspired soup, again, using your favorite broth. You can add vegetables, and then the chickpea flour gets added right to the broth to thicken it. So quick, simple, easy. It also makes a great coating for any kind of vegetables. You get this crispy, almost fried-like consistency even when you bake the vegetables, so there's no actual frying involved. And then, let's see, lastly, I would have to say one of my favorite dinner recipes is to use the chickpea flour as that egg replacer I was talking about. And this is done throughout the world, but you can make omelets, you can make quiche, eggless quiche, egg-free and dairy-free as well. And then, but what I did is did a spin on that and made a Spanish tortilla, which is, you know, the Spanish omelet that's filled with roasted red peppers and potatoes, a little bit of paprika. You just bake it in the oven. It's so easy and fast and incredibly delicious.
Oh, that sounds so great. Now, was there a lot of experimenting involved, or did you just know, like, okay, I've heard good things about chickpeas, I'm just going to go for it? Or how did you know these recipes would work? Because if I went to the kitchen with chickpea flour, I'd be lost. Thank goodness we have you.
Yeah, I know. It was a lot of experimenting. And I knew that about three or four ways that it could work, ways that I had used it before in baking and as an egg replacement for the quiche and for coating. But then it took a lot of experiment to see, like, well, how can I push the boundaries with chickpea flour for what it can be used for? And I was so delighted to find out what, you know, I could do with it. Like, use it to make breads, a really quick breads. Like, I thought, well, it doesn't work well as a yeast bread substitute. It doesn't work well in place of flour. It doesn't work well with yeast. But to get a yeasty tasting bread recipe, I made a beer bread using it. It took a while to get the proportions right. And so the beer gives it this wonderful yeasty flavor, but it's a quick bread, so it takes about 5 minutes to mix it together and bake it for about an hour. And then you have this wonderful, crusty, yeasty bread. Made with beans.
Oh, that sounds so good. Really? Oh, my gosh. Okay, so my husband makes this beer bread, but he does like the traditional flour, right? Or he'll do a whole wheat flour. But still, I can't wait to tell him about that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
For those of you, people who don't want to use beer, you can use a soda water in place of a beer. And so it's just a really great basic bread, inexpensive, easy. And you get all this incredible nutrition from the chickpeas. It's just a remarkable flour.
It really seems that, well, okay, you're going to have to come back because we only were able to dedicate like, you know, 7 minutes to the chickpeas, and there's a heck of a lot more to talk about. So that is from the Chickpea Flour Cookbook, Healthy Gluten-Free and Grain-Free Recipes to Power Every Meal of the Day. And then you have Power Hungry, which is all about your fantastic bars. Camilla, tell us all the ways we can get these great books and learn more about you.
Oh, thanks. Well, you can find any of the books from any major bookseller online and in bookstores. But then you can find me and links to the books on my website, which is powerhungry.com.
Well, you are fantastic. This was super fun.
Oh,
I can't wait to have you back.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh,
it was
definitely.
Such a
Everyone,
pleasure.
Check out Camilla. I know. We have so much fun. We're like old friends.
I
love that.
Well, this is delightful.
And I love that about this show. You know, I feel I'm hoping people are enjoying it as much as I'm enjoying doing it. If you are, please rate and review on iTunes. It really makes a big difference. The higher the rating, the more people are going to get to discover Talk Healthy Today and they can join in on the fun. Definitely check out Camilla if you want to follow me on Twitter. What the heck? At Health Media Gal 1. I want to thank everyone for listening and stay well.